All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia? You're on the long-term IR.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can, because it's... Oh, no, I shouldn't say it. I was going to say it's because you never show up for our games, but you play in these other games.
It's playing for charity.
You were playing for charity. Well, I'm
raise,
some sort of
raise
a charity.
Those funds, you know?
I'm some sort of charity. You should play for my team. But now you're done for the year, for the season, I should say.
Yeah, done
a little
for the season.
Torn MCL.
It happens.
It does.
Last
but it
shift.
Happens last shift in an overtime, which you never should have played in overtime.
No,
I watched some of that game.
I don't know what I was
I do
doing.
Have to say, so I was downstairs, great night, Wayne Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Flyers did the right thing there.
Yeah, they did.
All of them, Hilford, Mr. Hilfordy and Jonesy and Danny B., a lot of credit for bringing him in and having him retire as a Flyer, because he's a Flyer.
That was so cool.
It was great to hang out all night, and then went downstairs. You're like, hey, I got to go play in this game. And I'm thinking, all right, it's like one of those games like when we played with our buddies from Clear Rum.
It's
going to be kind of a shit show. I walk out, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that Pierre Turgeon? What?
How good did he look, too?
Dude!
Like
Dominic Moore, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, how did you get these guys in an SC? Howie, Doug Crossman, yourself, Sammy Moe, Patrick Sharp out there skating around playing D.
Yeah.
Is he coming back as a D-man?
He might be.
He's still
pretty versatile.
Oh,
I know
so
he can.
So good, man. And he's in great shape.
Fridgie.
Who else? Oh, yeah, Hartsey's out there.
Oh, Eddie Hospitar?
Yeah.
Hospitar in his green.
He didn't play.
No, he didn't play. No,
but is
he's
there a reason?
On his Whalers gear.
The boxcar had the Hartford gear
I don't know
on.
What
I wasn't
that was
sure
all about.
About that.
I have no idea what that
I was
all
trying,
about.
I was telling, I had Otto with me and Elvis, and I was telling him, boxcar got out of his truck in front of us where we parked in the lot there. And I was trying to explain to Otto, did you ever see the big brawl with the Flyers in Montreal? And obviously he wasn't born.
Right.
But he's like, oh, I think I heard of it. So I said, that guy right there, get out of the truck, started it. And so I showed him the clip real quick. And he's like, we got can we say hi to him? I'm like, he might not even know who I am right now. Like, he, I have to always say, hey, and he's like, and then Boxcar's like, yeah, I know. But I told him about when I came in the locker room, you were in the other one. I went in there and I told Sharp, I said, you should have seen the putt this guy hit.
Oh, that was an epic putt.
Epic putt. Debo was there in all black, yeah. So it was baller.
We have some witnesses.
But you have to, maybe baller can find that when he hit it. But and your putt, and the crowd went nuts when you hit your putt. That was one of the best clips baller ever posted.
Do you remember when Amish was like telling Eddie to like putt it like 4 feet wide over here?
Yeah, and he went totally opposite. And he goes
like,
way.
Yeah, totally opposite way. He's like, thanks for the advice,
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, thanks for the advice. That was a great, that was pretty good.
I'm on a boat. Turn on, Ed. Turn on, Ed.
Look at this.
Oh! I didn't take your fucking line. You were wrong.
Yeah.
You were wrong.
Look.
I knew you were wrong. That's wrong. You gave me a fucking outside thing so I'd miss it. Like, what, did you have last putt coming up?
What I said.
We've been doing your fucking dick. You're a dick. I should fucking kick your ass.
But anyway, I was shocked to see all the guys out there. I may be missing someone, but I was like, what is this?
Oh, Stephane Carboneau. Yeah.
No. Step on my toe. Yeah, Step he on was toe, out there. Yeah. Oh, man. And I was like, what?
He's
like,
a big dude, too.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Oh, he is, man.
I didn't realize Pierre Turgeon was that big.
For the Rangers that year against Brodeur.
When they won.
But it was pretty cool. And then I'm out there. I saw them tie it. Or you guys tied it.
7-7?
7-7. And I'm like, okay, good. Riggs is going to come off. I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes, tell you what I was getting ready to do, and see if you wanted to come with me. And they're like, are we doing overtime? I'm like, come on. Like, what time is it? We're doing overtime? Like,
Pro-am.
Let's don't do overtime. You guys go to overtime. I'm like, I'm out of here. I said bye to Howie, and I was talking to Doug Crossman for a second. So I walk off their bench, and as I come around, I get to the Zamboni tunnel and they're pushing the nets off. I'm like, I didn't even hear the buzzer go off. Someone scored. And then I go around baller and Roz is limping off the ice. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Tore my MCL. That's it. I'm like, Dr. Dorsheimer out there? He tell you? Like right away? You already knew? Like, because Gary was there. I know he's not that kind of doctor, but I'm like, how do you know? And he goes, I know. I've done it before.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I'm like, so you're telling me you're not going to be at tomorrow night's game?
He's definitely not.
Boys. So then the boys are like on our text. They're like, hey, anybody here from Rouse? I'm like, yeah, he tore his MCL. Dr. Dorsheimer told him.
Dorsheimer.
And then everybody's like, oh, sorry to hear it, Rouse, because, you know, he doesn't show up for the boys.
Oh,
so
it's torn.
Oh,
yeah, it's torn,
I
boys.
Saw you walk in here, boys. Torn. It's legit.
Got the sleeve on right now.
There ain't enough weed around to make that thing untorn.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just telling you that.
A lot of herb for the pain, inflammation. Keep that dang.
Keep it down. Bring it dang.
It's a 6-weeker nasty.
It's a six. That's it. Six.
So
you'll be ready for next season then.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna miss this year.
Just been rehabbing.
We had
a yoga.
We missed you this weekend, but we did end up getting a win. It was a good game. We played Rolling Rock.
Oh, Rolling Rock.
Yep. And it was a good game. Boys had fun. So anyway, back to the Flyers. Let's get to the Flyers here.
Let's get
to
the real hockey players here.
Let's get to it. Disappointing ending,
yes.
Like we have to say. And, you know, everyone's like, well, you know, we probably overachieved. We probably overachieved this year. But it still sucks when you're right there in that spot. And, I mean, everyone's trying to, like, let another team in because everyone was losing and the Flyers held on to that spot. Just if they could have got a point somewhere in those eight games, you know, like it, I know they did get a few of them. I think we talked about it last week. Since the time they had scratched Coots, it kind of started falling off a little bit. And I'm not saying that's the main reason. I think it had maybe a little bit to do with it. I don't know how well that sat in a room. Mm-hmm. I'm not in there, so I can't say. But they did. No, not lately. I was the other night. You know. It's disappointing when you don't make it and you have it. Yeah, it kind of had a chance, but actually, even if they win that game, Detroit won. So that would have held them out. I mean, it would have been nice to at least end on a win. And then I heard, you know, I saw some people going, we're at the game, and, like, guys are going, why are they pulling a goalie? I'm like, they have to pull the goalie. They got to score.
Right.
We have to win in regulation to win, you know, to have a shot at the playoffs at this point. And I don't know if you saw, like, could you imagine if the Flyers did win? Detroit scored with about 3 seconds to go. Could you imagine the heartbreak if Flyers win that game and then that happens?
Oh, right.
Oh, my God. And then, I rewatched the Detroit game, just the highlights, and they couldn't even really celebrate a win because they knew at that point they were done, you know. And
But they were hype on that goal.
Yeah, they were then. They didn't know
yet. They didn't know.
Anyway, sorry, I was running on about that, but the season, in your opinion, as a whole, like, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to ignore the last 10 games or so after such an amazing, 72 games, really, right? I mean, they built that identity back up, the culture, overachieving, some may say, right? That work ethic, like being a hard team to play against, some young guys stepping up, you know, showing flashes of some legitimate skill, and just that the team chemistry seemed to be there. It's hard to believe that they would be able to play at that level, compete at that level for 72 games, and not just like having a little bit of a blimp in the last 10 games. It was just like the way they were losing those games too.
Yeah.
They weren't the way they were losing games earlier in the season. Like there's just for whatever reason, like, you know, like I understand. Going into the playoff time, you're gonna play lower end teams that are trying to play spoiler, and you have to mentally prepare for that. There's no excuses. Like, you have to prepare that you're playing the number one team every night, really.
Right.
Whether it's the psychology of that, or whether there was actually some actual mental let up in that locker room, some capacity. I don't really know. We'll never know fully. Right. But disappointing, considering the way they joined together and created that team bond all year and played hard and, you know, again, overachieved, but like they just played the right way. So it was, to me, it was just a little bit disappointing for it to go down like that. Obviously every fan in Philly would say the same thing. Like how does it go from like you're in playoffs pretty much all year.
right down to the last week.
Really. Yeah, I know. And still have a shot. But just, so it's hard to highlight all the good when it's reduced to 10 games for the whole season. So lots to build off of course.
Yeah.
There could have been so much more to build off as you squeezed in there, obviously, just giving those guys experience and getting that feel of Philly playoffs.
Right.
But, disappointing.
Yeah, I agree. As a Flyer fan, all season, you're pretty stoked. There was never a time where we're like, oh, here we go. I mean, there was a maybe. I remember back a little bit. We kind of went on a little bit of a downward spiral, but may have had to do with some injuries and stuff like that. But really, for 90% of the season, we were
consistent,
pumped, and hype, and hey, we're gonna get in here. We even had that stat where if you were in the playoff spot by a certain day, I can't remember that Baller would probably remember, but I know we said it on the show, like your chances are really good to get in, and they just missed it by a day. Like, you saw the disappointment on the guy. I felt for him because they busted their balls all year, man. And you know, I feel like they overachieved, but they had a mentality where we're not overachieving. We're going to win these games, and we're going to outplay and outwork teams. And they did.
Yeah.
And they did.
They did.
So it sucked to see him come up just a little bit short. It would have been nice to get the young guys in for a playoff to feel that playoff intensity and what it's like. I'm wondering if some of the guys, like, you know, Brink and a couple of, you know, probably Ronnie Attard for sure, a few guys may go down.
They already did.
Okay, sorry, I didn't know that. That's good, because I think that's great for them. Even, you know what it's like in America. You're playing.
And
it's playoffs, and it's real. It's
great experience.
It's great experience. So how many guys did they put down there, Baller?
Brink, Attard, and Adam Ginning.
And Jennings, okay, yeah. I didn't think they would with Z, right, because he was up all year. Like, yeah. I didn't think they would do that with him. But, I mean, either way, it's great experience for, mm-hmm. for the younger players. But it would have been great to sneak in there and get them that at the NHL level. I was kind of hoping – I think it's the way Washington's having to play, in my opinion. They're boring. And yeah. they made that game boring. It's like – I don't want to say it's a trap like the Devils used to do. You know, I'm not saying that, but it's like everything's
some
to the outside.
Some version of it, yeah.
It's some version of it. Everything's perimeter. To the outside, but that's how they have to win. And they were the team that won down the stretch, and their goalie's hot, was playing well. But, man, there wasn't even a lot of shots in that game, and it was hard for the building to get going because
nothing's happening.
Yeah. You know, like it's like you can't even get anything going. It popped hard when you know, we got the goal to tie the game. EJ or Johnson scored the goal, the tip, nice tip in front. And I'm like, all right. And, God, what if Kelly Sutherland or any of the refs or linesmen see that puck fly up there? I actually thought that the goalie had it. I thought he had it here. I didn't see it either. But once I saw the replay, I'm like, how did I not see that right. puck pop up? Like, but I didn't when it happened. I think it was a great season. I think they learned a lot, but I would have loved to see him sneak in there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's too bad. You're going to pour all your heart into the season, right? Again, I'm not even sure if I love the word overachieving because, like, they got the best of their players, right? I mean, they gave it what they had, but they were a hardworking team.
Very
and, you know, you're going to win games. Maybe you don't deserve to win just based on sheer effort. Yeah. So, but again, those last 10 games are just, like, hard to digest because it didn't seem like the same team.
It really
that's what I think I struggle with the most. Like, it didn't seem like
the games
that.
In Montreal and even the one in Columbus was to me,
how do you have a game like that right
you
now?
You give them, you know, it goes back to that great clip. I think Baller even posted it a while back with Lavi. Where he's like, kind of, we're in Colorado. I think I said before we were somewhere else, but we were in Colorado, and he's like, I want to see guys ripping their hearts out. We played Boston, tough game. Okay, no problem. Tonight, unacceptable. So you have a bad game in Montreal, and you go to Columbus, right? Like, to me, that Columbus game, that's got to be your best game of the year.
It's got to be.
And it wasn't. Yeah, it was a tough game. Yeah. Easy for me to say, but that's how you're looking at it as a coach or as a player. I mean, you played the game, you know. And that scared me. That Columbus game scared me for them. I was like, whoa, this doesn't look like the same team.
No, I agree.
They did bounce back, find a way to win a couple games, keep them in it. So, but in the end, it's a little disappointing.
Yeah. It is, you know, time for reflection now. You know, obviously players, staff, you know, the brass, lots to take away from the season, but at the end of the day, in the business of winning, you know, playoffs is necessary to at least get in there.
Yeah,
you
know, try to get there.
But yeah, it is what it is. It's a tough sport. It's tough, tough sport to win in. You know, obviously there's only 16 teams that make it to the playoffs, and
the rest that's of them, right. The golf. It's hard. It's hard. We've talked about that a lot. How did you think Gritty performed this year?
Gritty was high energy. Yeah.
He was high energy.
He's improving every day.
Did you give him any lessons on that drum? Because he is banging that drum, boys, and it looks a lot like you.
Yeah.
The beard, except for his is like obviously.
His is a little more capped. Ginger.
Yeah. His is capped for sure. A little bit better.
Yeah, I love the drum. He's got the old, you know, Buffalo drum, and he's got the big bass drum he brings out now. And
he's got it all.
He keeps evolving.
He doesn't have one like yours.
No, he doesn't.
What's the name of it again? Sorry.
The old djembe.
The djembe. My bad.
He'll get one probably.
I think
he's pretty versatile.
Dude, how great would that be to see him with a fucking dube in his mouth?
The best mascot ever.
Ever. Anyway.
Most improved player, though.
Was he?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Stepping up his game.
Yeah, he did step it up.
Yeah.
He did. Massimo. He dressed up like him a couple times. You know you did. anyway, so our buddy, Jeff Carter, called it quits.
That's it.
19 seasons, bro.
Jeez.
Your old roommate.
I thought he had another couple left in him.
Well, he still can skate.
I know he can. I think he just had enough. He just wants to spend some time with his family.
Yeah, and there's and
it's a grind.
Man, 19 seasons is it's amazing. What would you end up playing in the NHL? 3.5
Four. Yeah. Four? Well, yeah, parts of four. Yeah.
I mean, and that was hard. And obviously, you had a way different job, and that's way harder. But imagine playing 19 fucking seasons.
A lot of miles.
Like, it's a lot. And great career. I mean, obviously, he's a first-round pick for the Flyers in 2003, I believe.
Yep.
And he comes in, actually came in twice with the Phantoms, I think when he was 18, and then he came back the lockout year, right. Him and Richie. And he and Richie were probably the best two players on the team, and they were 19.
Cards letter team.
Yeah,
and
he
scoring.
Did. He had 12 goals in the playoffs. I mean, you're playing with men. People don't understand that. Like, he's playing against men. Like, he's a kid. He came in, like you said, he led us in scoring. Ended up six seasons with the Flyers. You figured him and Richie were, their whole career, they're going to be here, right? Like, they were Flyer guys. I think Karts had 181 goals with the Flyers in his six seasons. Goes on to, well, he gets traded to Columbus and says, now.
Yeah, no, like it. Can't be hanging around here.
No, but he ends up with Richie, with the Kings.
What are the chance of that happening?
I know. No one saw that coming,
no
right?
No one saw that.
Happy for him, though.
Great move.
Then great move. 9.5 years there, seasons there with the Kings, two cups. Guy's a winner.
Oh, yeah.
Big parts of those teams, too, obviously, the way he skates. I know we told a story before about Nick Cousins playing against him, and he came down the wing flying, and he just shoots it with his hands up high, and the puck goes over the net, and then Nuvi kind of moved for it. But, man, just a guy that was touched by God, man, just like, here, you're going to be able to skate and shoot and not really have to work at it. I'm not saying he didn't work at it, but you know what I mean.
It sort of seemed like that.
It was just so easy for him.
The way he skated and shoot the puck. God. Like, his big hands.
Built like a Greek god, too.
Yeah, leaning into the stick without even any effort.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And then his last 3.5 years with Pittsburgh, and he's going to stay there. He enjoys it there. I've talked to him a lot, you know, and they're going to stay there. They're kind of – it's in between where Megs is from. Megan's from his wife, Hershey area.
Right,
and then, for him to get up to Canada to see his family. So congratulations, Karts.
Yeah,
man.
Karts.
Great buddy, and could be happier for you. What a career, man.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah, 442 goals, man.
It's a lot.
851 points. Jeff's a good man, and we love you, brother.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Get you on the pod.
Yeah.
Bring you in the stew.
Let's go.
Now's the time.
Now's the time. We want to be your first if you're even going to do any.
Yeah.
Another quick congratulations, because I saw Reamer's James Van Riemsdyk's family. TVR at a 600 game. Guy that's
TVR.
Undrafted. 600
It's amazing.
Games. It is.
And he was in Flyers camp at one point.
He was. He had the long
him.
Walks
he did,
then.
Yeah.
But
I didn't realize he was that good.
Yeah. Obviously no one did. I read a great story about him. We could talk about another time. But 600 games, undrafted, pretty fucking impressive.
It's amazing, yeah.
Pretty impressive. And a Stanley Cup winner. Won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, super impressive.
So, anyway.
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Here we are.
Do you know who's in?
Are the Flyers in?
No, they're not. Unfortunately, they're not.
So we'll get into the playoffs with our good friend Frank Saravalli.
Yes.
Insider. Got the scoops.
Insider. And then we're going to get our picks and his.
Yeah.
See what he thinks as well for these playoffs, which this is the best time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite time.
Ramp that energy up.
I'm like Debo. I don't move off the couch.
No?
Now, he's sleeping, but I'm watching.
You got three screens going.
Well,
I'll watch all the games.
I got a couple different things going.
Yeah.
So, excited for this. So.
Yeah. Well, what's that time then, Nas?
Well, let's do it.
154?
Here we go.
154? What?
Should leave that in there. It's 154.
All right, Nas, here we go.
Let's go.
154.
Let's do it.
Frank, here we go. Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Picking the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemeyer. And this week we are so excited to have our good buddy, Mr. Frank Saravalli, the insider, the main man, knows seems to know it all.
He knows it all.
Frank? Welcome, buddy. We appreciate your time. We know you are really busy today. I think you got about four more shows you got to do. But thank you for taking the time for us, man. We appreciate you.
For you guys, anything.
Is this busier than trade deadline or what's going on right now?
No, deadline's busier, but this week is always a lot. There's a million things happening to end the regular season. There's NHL awards voting. There's playoff previews and then right into jumping into travel and getting out for round one. So I'm going to spend round one with Vancouver and Rick Tocchet and going back and forth between Van and Nashville. So hopefully by the end of that 2 weeks, I could just manage to stay upright.
I've been with you in Nashville before, Frank. We had a pretty good night.
That definitely was a night.
Oh man, you should have a good time. That's awesome, man. That's exciting. You get to do all that stuff, man.
How did you land a pick in the first round?
We have a bunch of shows around Canada, and Vancouver is a big market for us. So, I also think it's going to be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Good choice.
We wanted to get you on today just to get your thoughts about a couple things. One, the playoffs, obviously this is my favorite time of year. I'm still a little bummed that the Flyers didn't sneak in there after the season they had. We were just doing our pre and basically 85-90% of the season. I know we had you on at one point. We talked about that percentage if you're in by this date or if you're in a playoff spot. You know, it looked like they were going to get in until the last 10 games, it kind of turned a little sideways there. What were your thoughts?
This is the worst outcome the Flyers probably could have had. I mean, you hold a playoff spot for 75 games and you lose 8 in a row. And you look back now and think just winning one of those games probably would have changed the fortune or fate of your season. And there's a lot to unpack. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why they ended up there. Some of it were some untimely injuries, particularly on the back end. I can't help but think that the feel of the team changed after the Sean Couturier healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. And look, I don't think the Flyers are making a coaching change. They have 8 million reasons not to. But for me, my big question for the Flyers heading into next year, there's a few of them, but the biggest one is, will there be a hangover from the Torts tornado? Because I talked to some guys in that room on a pretty regular basis, and there's certainly some players heading out into the offseason after exit interviews that aren't really happy. And that's not a shock based on the way things played out. I know what the public messaging is going to be, that, hey, look how hard this team competed. They worked their asses off. And to even be in a playoff spot for 75 games this year, whatever it felt like, no one was expecting that. So on the one hand, you're saying, oh, that's a win. Look at how much this team overachieved. My thing when I take a step back and look at it is, I think it's the biggest disappointment, because you miss and you were so close, and then you also are really far away from being at the top of the draft lottery standings, and you have a 0% shot to land a game-changing, franchise-changing player.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we discussed this before we hopped on with you here, and it's a mixed emotions, right? Like, to your point, like, on one hand, like, quote unquote overachieve, get these guys competing, but then like the last 8-10 games there are just like we mentioned, like they weren't losing like the way they lost earlier in the season, right? They were just a different vibe, different energy, and we can beat this one around a few times, but we never get to the core of it. But I mean, you mentioned the Coots scratching,
I thought that was huge as
yeah
well.
I think that's seems to be the starting point of, the downward spiral. And then like, how does this thing repair itself? If, you got 8 million reasons why you don't move towards, and you have some very unhappy people that are coming back, does this thing solve itself just based on a fresh start, or you know, how do you see this thing really playing out as far as the personalities in the locker room that may have some, I don't say beef, but an issue and has some friction with the way things landed up playing out?
That's the tough part to answer, is because it's really murky, right? I mean, by all accounts, because like, let's, if we acknowledge the fact that this team overachieved this year, what's the path for them to take a step forward and be better? Like, I don't think it's in their nature, at least where they are roster construction wise, to go out this summer and begin trying to add to it. And then look, I said this to you guys 2 years ago, and I mean this when I say it. John Tortorella is the worst coach for this team. And let me stop right there, full stop, and say he is very clearly an unbelievable coach. I just think where this team is and what they're trying to do and accomplish, next year he's going to be squeezing again to try and wring out every drop from this team. That's what he does. And you end up with 10 more points, or in this case, 15 to 20 this year, than you really should with the roster that you have. And so it takes you further away from getting top flight talent, which should be the goal, amassing the biggest collection of top end players that you could possibly get your hands on. Mm-hmm. So all of that said, with the lingering sort of, I would say, discontent, and you know, he received a lot of, John Tortorella received a lot of credit and acclaim for basically the way that he responded to all that. And I do want to say one thing first. The Couturier healthy scratch was huge, but I do think things like the Islander game, that they had that furious comeback in the last, you know, couple minutes, really controlled play, and then scored in the last 10 seconds to tie the game and go to OT. You can't have your team fight like that and then stand at the podium after the game and call them soft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Players don't go for that. Like, I'm all for hard edge. I'm all for pushing players. At times hate the sort of soft environment that exists in today's society. So like, don't get me wrong when I say this, but the way to coach players has changed. So yes. Now, how do you think some of these guys are feeling heading into the offseason? Sean Couturier, Bobby Brink, Joel Farabee, Morgan Frost, like you can go through 10 players, Travis Sanheim getting scratched. Like, I don't like, list them off and then say, okay, these are a part of our core players. How do we then put some band-aids on this to have everyone come back feeling good? These two things are pushing against each other. John Tortorella and his iron fist and the way he does it, which is obviously successful. And then the current state of the team and really what they should be trying to accomplish. These are philosophical things that are going back and forth with each other that I don't know which one wins. I think they're at a crossroads.
All right, Nass, let's talk about one of our new and awesome partners, AG1. How have you been feeling rocking those products?
Buddy, I'm telling you, it's part of my daily routine. I don't stray away from it. As soon as I get up in the morning, I mix it, drink it, go right to my workout regimen, which I have started back lately, which I needed. But in all honesty, before I started on it daily, my digestion didn't feel as good as it normally had, or maybe as it did when I was a little younger. Unbelievable difference with that. You know, my folk, I seem to stay focused longer during the day. I don't get that midday sluggish feeling either. Mm-hmm. Once I started drinking this, and you know, it also supports your immune system, and even stress. Like, stress levels seem to be down since I started taking it. But like I said, it is the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning.
It's a great way to start the day.
It really is.
And it makes sense that it's helping you support your gut and stomach, because there is prebiotics and probiotics that support our digestive enzymes.
Exactly.
So that's a byproduct of AG1.
It is.
Making the gut feel good, getting that energy, that focus, all that good stuff. And I would recommend this to anybody.
100%. I've been doing that a lot lately. You know, I've actually had a lot of friends that watch the show are like, hey, is this legit? And I'm like, boys, I'm telling you, I don't. When I wake up, it's the first thing I do. I go to the kitchen and I mix it up.
Yeah.
And I drink it. It tastes good. And it really makes a difference during my day.
Yeah. And I will say, for anybody that's playing high level sports that gets drug tested, it is tested for over 950 contaminants and is NSF certified for sport. So that's a big thing. I know when we played back in the day, that was an important certification to have.
For sure.
For drug testing.
So like I said, Riley, if there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as our new partner, like you said. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/knuckles. That's drinkag1.com/knuckles. Guys, check it out.
You got a great coach. You're not going to remove a great coach to find a mediocre coach to service your needs as of where you land up in standings, right? So I see what you're saying around.
Not when you're on the hook for $8 million.
Right, exactly.
They're not going to walk away and say, hey, you know what? Even though this might be the best thing for us, we're going to just stick with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you're kind of in this conundrum. You say you have a great coach on paper, and you know it seems like a weird conundrum to be in, because it's like at the end of the day, this is a business of winning. It's not, you know, maybe fumbling a few games deliberately so we can win in the future. So I guess where I'm going with it is there's no real simple way to solve this puzzle.
It
almost needs to have some sort of clash of some sort to resolve itself. I don't see this thing fully smoothing itself out.
Well, he also just has too much power. He has a seat at the table in terms of transactions. He clearly has Dan Hilferty's ear as CEO.
Yeah,
and those things all matter. And there's been no shortage of rumors that, hey, at the end of this season, John Tortorella is going to be moving to the front office, because that's what he always wanted to do, is sort of, you know, be a GM or something like that. That's not happening, at least to my knowledge. I don't think that's changing. I think he's there to coach. I don't know what he would do. There's no room for him when you have a GM and a president of hockey ops and a few assistant GMs. So I don't know how to fix it on that front. And he's his own worst enemy. He needs to take a step back, and sometimes less is more.
I agree.
You know, publicly embarrassing Bobby Brink on the bench and, you know, undressing him verbally in front of the entire arena and on camera is like, you don't need to do that. It kind of felt like certain players, just the same way with Couturier. You can pull Sean Couturier out of the lineup if you want to. Say he's missing a couple games with a bad back.
Yeah, right.
Like, come up with whatever. I'm not advocating for you to flout injury requirements, by the way. I'm just there.
Yeah.
Was Sean Couturier not playing well? Yes. Could you have pulled someone else out of the lineup instead? Yes. Did you pull Sean Couturier out of the lineup to make everyone else in your dressing room shit their pants? Also, yes.
Right.
You don't, there's a million, but I think of an NHL season. Like, if you ever looked at an airplane cockpit and you see a million buttons up there, there's all sorts of different ones that you can push. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't have to jam the big giant red one 13 times a year. You don't have to do it. And he doesn't have any ability to do anything other than that, because that's what he is and that's what he knows.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great point.
That's a great point. I'm interested to see what happens, especially I think they finished up their year ends.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you hear something here in the next few days or you know, maybe you don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to say too, just so that everyone doesn't think that I'm coming at it from a perspective, I'm trying to take the 30,000 foot view here, not to use another airplane, you know, cliche, but there are other things that happened this year. Carter Hart leaving for his thing and Sam Ersin being asked to carry the ball. Like that dude, he was holding on for dear life. Mm-hmm. Toward the end. And so full marks to Sam Ersin for being pressed into a situation that he probably wasn't ready for.
Yep.
Right.
That Flyers defense core was really banged up. And then you deleted Sean Walker. Like there were a lot of things that happened that contributed to it. But I think one of the other arguments you could make is that John Tortorella coached this team right out of the playoffs. Yeah. I don't know that I'd argue with that.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a different vibe those last eight games for sure. Totally something different. Changed. There's some shift. And you know, you could speculate all you want, but
you guys have been in a room. You understand the dynamic way more than me.
Sure.
That's how I see it from afar. What does happen in a room when something like that happens? Sometimes teams band together and play in spite of the coach. Well, right. Some that's other teams exactly pack it in.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a little bit of that. I'm sure you have too, Riley, where guys, I don't know if I've ever seen a team say, hey, fuck it. We're just going to not, you know, we're not going to give it our all, but they're like, you know what? Fuck this guy. We're going to do it for ourselves. Right. As a team.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that, you know, definitely. So I would imagine that was, you know,
I wish it would have gone that way.
I felt like, Frank, I don't know. I know you see so much hockey, but I told Riley, we were talking in the pre, that when I really got worried was the game in Montreal, the first one a few weeks ago on the road. And then when they came back with that game in Columbus, that really scared me.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I hate to say they weren't trying. I don't like to tell a professional athlete they're not trying, but it just looked the optics of it weren't great. And I don't know if you were able to see any of that game, but that scared me.
Yeah.
And by then it was too far gone. And then all of a sudden you heard Torts trying to pump them up again.
Yes.
And all of a sudden the tone became a lot different. It became a lot nicer. And it became about, you know, I want people here that are going to compete and I can push their buttons and like all that stuff. It was just like, I think he realized how far he overstepped.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to reel that one back in.
You can't reel it back in after you
can't unring the bell.
No, that's the truth. Yeah, I guess time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell.
We don't want to beat a dead horse here. Great insights. Wanted to get some scoops. And you stuck by your guns with your opinion on it, and you know
it's not because he's a really freaking good coach.
Yeah,
and you know what? That's going to be one of the fascinating things to watch. Is he really won over this market?
Oh yeah,
there are a ton. I see them all over social media. There are a ton of John Tortorella supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he says the right things too. I think sometimes too, like to where the fan base can be like, yeah, that's right. You know, that's how we, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the things he says, he's smart about it. Like, yeah.
And he owned some of his shit too, you know, publicly towards the end there, right? Some of his.
He almost had to, right?
Yeah, kind of had to. But I mean, he still.
Has there ever been a coach that, like, personality wise, really kind of lines up with Philly? Like, at least in Flyers history, like, who has really, you know, you can win and there's the Fred Chero era. That's totally different. But since then,
the guy that pops Lavi.
Yeah.
Laviolette. People really.
Thing.
Yeah. I would say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fans actually, really like because
yeah,
the
jam. Yeah. Always got the visible emotion.
Yeah.
I think that's what
he always had to take the gum out.
Yeah,
yeah, he did.
I think a lot of fans hang their hat
timeouts.
On, yeah, the dramatics of the emotion versus maybe the end results too. Sometimes because like, I know Labby took us to the finals there, but like, you know, a guy like John Stevens doesn't get enough credit in Philly, right, in my opinion, where you talk about like guy that cares so much and pours so much energy into the team and into the world of hockey. Emotional guy, but just does it. You know, he does have a philosophy around how he presents himself on the bench, and I always appreciated that.
Same I'm as like, Hack.
If your leader is calm when the storm is rocking, like it shows that, you know, we can persevere, and there's like an element of, okay, your leader's, you know, remaining calm, we can remain calm too, instead of losing our shit and, you know, coming all raveled. But you know,
I'm glad you said that, because I feel the exact same way watching Sheldon Keefe with the Leafs. I don't know if you see his stuff,
yeah,
but mm-hmm, he looks like he's a ball of stress that's going to explode.
Yeah, right. He does. Yeah, he does.
And really, I'd like to compliment him on his hair at some point, because
yeah, I was going to say, yeah,
very similar styles, and I'd like to compare notes. but in all seriousness, he looks, and the stuff that he says, Austin Matthews and the chase for 70 goals is a major distraction. And I'm just like, my head is exploding, yeah, thinking, what does that even mean? Like, how could that possibly be a bad thing that you have a guy that's in pursuit of 70?
Totally.
And it's like, they find excuse after excuse. Your players hear it, the media and market and fans hear it, and then they see you bark at the officials all game long. Every which way you turn around, Sheldon Keefe believes the Toronto Maple Leafs are getting fucked. And it's just, that's just not how it works.
That's right. Yeah. It's a wasted energy.
Yeah.
And that stress energy is no good for players. I mean, I can't tell me how many coaches I've seen over the years, like rolling their eyes and like almost like covering their face. It's just like, it's a bad look and guys don't like it, you know?
Right.
So carrying yourself with some sort of confidence, no matter how shitty it gets, is, to me, it shows, you know, optimal leadership, at least the way I see it.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't have you for very long here, Frank, so we want to get in some playoff stuff with you. I mean, geez, I don't even know where to start.
Well, I was going to say, I'll start real quick. Like you said, we know you don't have much time. We appreciate the time you're giving us. I was just going to get your thoughts on these on the East, starting with the Islanders and Carolina.
Quick series.
Yeah, I said the same.
Yep.
I like the Canes a lot. I just think there's, especially even as well as Freddie Anderson played down the stretch, I think 13-2, he's fresh. I know the big thing with Canes goalies is, are they going to be upright? And that team is firing on all cylinders. Great defense core. I've got Canes in a sweep.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yep.
I was either a sweep or five.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Islanders can sneak one out, because they have pretty good goaltending. I'm not sure which way they're going either. I don't know. Maybe you do, Frank, if they're going with Varlamov or if they're going with Sorokin. But
for as good as Varlamov played down the stretch, Sorokin's last three games, he was .932.
Jesus,
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's a good problem to have. Clearly, there's a trust factor between Patrick Waugh and Varlamov going back to Colorado. But I'd go with Sorokin for the long-term future, the long view, and also his game and series stealing ability.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, both teams have good goaltending, right? Like, but I think Carolina's speed is just, yeah, I just think it's different.
It's a different league, for sure.
Jake Gensel's been so good there, too.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
What a grab
there, man. Rangers and Washington. I think this one's going to be quick as well. I could be wrong, but I think the Rangers are going to take this one.
And the Metro side of the bracket, at least in the first round, is pretty boring. I've got Rangers in five. That sets up Rangers Canes in round two, which is going to be electric.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be relatively easy for New York. There's as good a story as Washington was, and as big of wins that they came up with down the stretch, I don't know that anyone really takes them seriously with their roster, how they play. Charlie Lindgren I take seriously, but
right,
short of that, I don't. What's their calling card? What are the Caps?
Frank, yeah, did they change their their defensive strategy, I guess you'd say. Like, because I mean, I watched a few of their last few games just because it was so interesting. It was a boring hockey game to watch when I watched them. Even the other night with the Flyers, it's almost hard to get into the game because it seemed like everything's perimeter. They're keeping it to the perimeter, which I guess they have to win, right?
Yeah, they've been very structured under Spencer Carberry, and I would say Rick Tocchet's going to win it, but Carberry deserves a lot of consideration for the Jack Adams.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you put Rimpe in if you're the Rangers at home anyway?
Why not?
I just feel like when you watch, even through the TV, you watch games, it seems like even though he's playing 5 minutes, he just brings something. The fans go nuts when he's on the ice.
You
I just feel like
for a couple hits.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know.
How about that fourth line? They're giants.
Yes, yeah, right. I know. Exactly.
Sign me up for that all day long.
Yeah.
For sure. Florida, Tampa. This one interests me a lot.
How could it not? Battle of Florida. I've got a slight upset here. I'm going to go with Tampa in six. I think Florida is a really good team. Their game translates well to the playoffs. Bob had a fantastic season that I don't think enough people talked about, mostly because Hellebuck was so good and then Demko right behind him. I would have had Bob. I don't have a Vezina vote, but I would have had Bob third on my list. That said, the big cat on the other end of the ice, Vasilevsky, at some point in March, he turned back into Conn Smythe Vasilevsky.
Right.
They've got Kucherov up front, who may win the Hart, Stamkos, Point, and Hedman. I had Hedman third on my Norris ballot behind only Makar and Hughes. So Hedman he turned back the clock a couple years this season, and he had to do a lot of heavy lifting with Sergachev out and a pretty thin defense core compared to some other iterations of the Lightning. So I really like Tampa. I think they're playing well at the right time of year. They're the league's ultimate switch flippers. They get to this time of year and they just know how to win. Not to say that Florida getting to the final last year doesn't. I think it's going to be a tight series. I think it's going to be a physical series. A couple years ago, on their way to winning the cup again, they played Florida in the first round and the Panthers tried to run that team through the second row of the rink.
Right.
Tampa was cool with it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They were. Kucherov, just, man, 100 assists, Frank.
Crazy.
Wild, yeah.
It's crazy. But
about 53 points clear of his next closest teammate. Like, just for some perspective on what that means, the leading scorer of the Buffalo Sabres had 59 points total.
Jeez. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's fun to watch, man. He's a creative guy. I remember, Frank, quickly, I know you got to go, a few years ago, we're on the bench, and I'm watching Kucherov, you know, because he was, you know, he's obviously a really good player. It looks like he doesn't break a sweat, but when he sees any opportunity where it's going to be an offensive situation where he could, it's like, boom, he's gone. But he cruises around. I'm not saying he did this year. I didn't watch as much. But when I was on the bench, I'm like, this guy's not even breaking a sweat. He's got 3 points. You know, like,
but that's
crazy.
I'm really glad you said that, because that, when you watch McKinnon, and that it really, to me, came down to those two players, McKinnon gets so many extra style points because of the way he does it. He runs you over, right?
Right.
And he bulls through the neutral zone, and it's this force of nature that just, like, it's impressive to watch. Kucherov is totally different. He's sublime. He's, you know, he makes all these amazing plays on the wall that you see the way that he, you know, finds people and picks the puck off the wall and avoids contact and maintains possession. Like, it's just different. And I'm not saying it's worse. In fact, I think you have to really watch to appreciate him. And I feel like with social media today, everyone's, you know, their attention span is 13 seconds and they just want to see the clip where McKinnon just absolutely wheels zone. And then hey, give the award to this guy because of that. I just don't think that's how it works.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
It should be a great series. I don't know. I don't know who I'm not really pulling for either one. I hope it goes 7 games.
Put a stake in the ground. Who are you picking?
Yeah, I gotta go with Tampa, man. I don't know. Just for some reason, I just have a feeling they're going to find a way to get it done. And like you said, Vasilevsky, man, if he turns that switch on in playoffs, we know what he can do. Obviously, three years straight, he got there.
I got Tampa too. We were talking about this before we got on.
Stamkos, he's got a contract year coming up. I know he's getting older, but like
experience,
I feel like he's gonna really want to play well. Not that he never does want to play well, but
yeah,
I think he's gonna have a good playoff run. But we'll see. I'm gonna go with Tampa as well. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, I go with Tampa too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think really enough then.
Yeah, yeah. Our buddies in Florida, Stoli and
I know. I just
because you're gonna be mad, but my favorite first round is Boston versus Toronto. I'm interested to hear what you think about this one.
So you're gonna I know you're gonna say that your real answer is it's your favorite first round because that's the early one, but it's got to be Jets Avs, no?
Well, but that's the West. I'm in on the East side. I'm sorry.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, just on the East. Yeah.
There's so many good ones this year.
Yeah.
I've got the Leafs. I know what I said about Sheldon Keefe. I'm just not a Bruins believer, and I think part of that might just be they have to prove it to me after the way they lost in the first round last year.
Yeah.
Charlie Coyle has been a revelation. I obviously like Charlie McAvoy and what he brings. Their goaltending is just so much better than everyone else. That tandem, I'd love to see how they manage it in the playoffs. That's going to be big.
I was going to ask you if you had heard anything or what your feeling was on how Monty's going to manage that.
I don't know. And it's going to be interesting because no one's really ever gone into a playoffs planning to rotate goalies.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's going to be a big storyline. I'm picking the Leafs because they played really well down the stretch. We talked about the Flyers turning point with Couturier. Theirs in Toronto was when Morgan Riley was suspended for 5 games after that Ridley Gregg empty net goal. They've played extremely well since then. They've been really physical. They're second in the league in hits. That translates. And Bertuzzi, Domi, those guys have been really good in the second half of the year after slow starts. Mm-hmm. And they transformed the depth of that team. Now, I don't think they're a cup contender or winner by any stretch, but I think the Bruins on paper look better than what they really are because they're propped up by their goaltending. I thought that eye test wise, and then Sport Logic put out something last week where they said if the Bruins got league average goaltending, they'd be down at like 98 or 99 points, which sounds about right to me. They're a good team, but I don't think they're a juggernaut, and so I don't think it's even a huge stretch to say Leafs over Bruins, but that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. You going Leafs?
I can't because I just can't. Yeah. It's my heart. I shouldn't say with my heart, but I know exactly what you're saying. And probably the depths of my heart, I feel that Toronto might take it, but I'm going for Boston. I'm pulling for Boston. So I'm going to take Boston.
Yeah. I'm going Leafs.
Yeah.
I think mainly just because I'm Canadian.
That's it.
I agree with Frank. I just think that after last year's first round exit with Boston, I'm just not sure that.
Let me ask you this real quick because I know you got to go.
Well, look, I'm a proud Philadelphian, and I want to let you know I have both of you covered here. So.
Yeah,
you do. I see that. Toronto's goaltending, is that something they should worry about?
I think they've got enough options that they can throw at you, whether it's Samsonov or Wall, or if God forbid you needed to go to Martin Jones. Like
right.
It's been 13 years since we saw Lavi go with 3 goalies in 1 round. Flyers, Sabres. That was coincidentally the last game 7. That was the last playoff game the Sabres have played.
Wow.
That feels like a lifetime ago.
It does.
And I wouldn't be shocked if at some point during these next 2 to 4 weeks, if we saw all 3 of those guys in net for Toronto, but I think all of them smashed together should be enough to at least take on the Bruins in round 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good insight.
I've listened to a lot of stuff the last few days and you just answered, you weren't sure what, if they're going to flip flop, but who do you start game 1?
I go Allmark, because Swayman was fine down the stretch, but he kind of had a bit of a swoon in March that I think Allmark's numbers of late have been better.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You want to quickly run down the West? Just like we don't go into detail because I know you.
Yeah, I'll
run.
Tell you what I got.
Let's hear it.
I've got Stars in 7 over the Golden Knights, Jets in 6 over the Avs, Canucks in 5 over the Preds, and Oilers in 6 over the LA Kings.
Okay. In 6. Wow. Okay.
Only one game 7. I hope for more. That's the best part of round one. Remember that one year we had 4 of the 8 series go to 7 games? Awesome. That was unreal. But I don't know. It's so weird to feel confident about your bracket because we know that you could just most of the time crumple it up and throw it out the window most years in the first 2 rounds. But
that's right.
I don't. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we appreciate your time, buddy. We know you got a busy, busy day here. So we appreciate you so much, man.
Always great to chat with you guys. See ya.
All right, bro.
Thanks, Frank. Big thank you to our friend, Frank Saravalli.
Frank gets the scoops.
He got the scoops.
Watches a lot of hockey. Knows a lot, man. Appreciate him. Yeah. Good man.
Yeah, always appreciate his insights.
Yes, for sure.
And it's that time, Nast.
It
you
is?
You better believe it.
Is it time for clear questions?
Oh, yeah.
Brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Type in Nasty2023 and get 35% off of your order. PA residents only. Get it in you. Little cucumber water with some blueberries.
I saw that this morning. Nasty.
Sent Baller a picture. Man, that was good. Refreshing. Not kidding around. It's unbelievable. It really is so good and refreshing. Even in the morning. Could say I have a problem that I just wanted some blueberries and a little.
Just a little thirsty.
Cucumbersy with clear and water. Baller, what do you got?
Leading us off today, we have MikePaul72 over on Twitter. He wants to know, what is the best part of the past season? What's the most disappointing part? And what's the most surprising part?
Best part. Good question. Thank you. Best part was I feel like, I know we came up short, but like I said before, 90% of the season were like, pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure people thought they would be there, but as you had said before, the way they worked, they won games, they deserved to win because of the way they worked. And that was pretty cool all season, like till the end there. You know, we thought they were going to make it. It was going to be great for these young players.
Yeah,
you know, so that for me, that was the best part.
Yeah, I would just say kind of talked about it in the pre, just kind of finding that identity again, that that orange and black culture seemed to be reignited. So I really like that. And just the work, the attitude, you know, the compete. I think that's the essence of Flyers hockey. So I think they've had found that for He said 90% of the season. Yeah. So love that part. Last 10 games is obviously, you know, that drought was disappointing. I mean, there's no other way to cut that up. I think the whole world knows that.
Yeah.
Disappointing. And then surprises. I mean, I guess that would be the same as your that would be the disappointing part of your season.
Yeah, for games. Sure. Yeah.
The last probably a couple of these young guys. Forrester scoring 20. Man, this guy seems to be improved.
Yeah.
I like his release and the way he kind of attacks the net.
Big body.
who else?
Brinker.
Found his groove a little bit. Even a guy like Morgan Frost dealing with that adversity and finding his game. Obviously, I think Sanheim's probably the best season of his career.
Yeah. He's playing almost 25 minutes a night. Right. You know, close to 24 or 25 minutes.
He's a horse.
Cam York. I thought he looked great all year. I mean, I thought he played really well all year for a young guy. I think just a lot of positives going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of how long is this. You know, we are in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. You kind of forget, even though they had such a good year, I think. So we'll have to see, what Danny does this summer if he's able to do anything to make the team a little bit better. But these young kids, I mean, you would think next year they're going to take another step. That's your hope, right? Like, that's the whole idea with the young kids. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Moonboots 420 over on Instagram.
Moonsy.
Can we get Richie and Karts on the pod together?
Woo.
That would be great.
It's a big ask. That would be huge.
That would be it. Yeah, we got to get Jeff to get on here at all. Like, he doesn't like doing this sort of thing, so we're going to bag him. Maybe I'll go through Megan. Yeah. Maybe Mags can twist his arm a little bit. Yeah. We'd love to have them both on. How cool would that be? That'd
be super cool.
It'd be really cool in person, too. That's probably pretty hard, but yeah, we'll definitely try for you. We would love to have them both on. That'd be great.
Final one for today is from Bio1771 over on Instagram. Who is a player you had or played with in the minors that you thought was a surefire NHLer but just never made it?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
A few guys come to mind. Well, we talked about it a little bit before. Stefan Ruzicka.
Yeah, that was a guy that really stuck out to me. I thought he was an NHL player for sure.
Yeah, I think he had all the tools. I think he's just one of those guys that, you know, mentally could, you know, maybe
cruise control,
couldn't piece it all together, maybe thought he deserved a higher position in the lineup than he
Great rapper, though.
Oh, he's a great rapper.
Love rap music. A
lot of gold.
He wasn't Russian. What was he? Ukraine? What was he?
He was Czech. Was he Czech?
He was
a Slovak.
Slovak. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Rosie.
I liked Rosie. Man.
Yeah, you know, I liked him too. I played
with him, and, you know, I seen his ability. He also got me in a couple tussles, little Rosie.
He got me in a couple tussles.
But, yeah, he would be one of them. I'm trying to think who else. You got any come to mind there?
Well, he was for some reason he popped in my mind first. I mean, I'd have to go back over, you know, a lot.
Well, Brendel too. I know we recently talked about him.
Yeah, Pav.
I played junior hockey against this guy. He was scoring 50, 60 goals a year, like it was nothing. And I was just like, well, this guy is for sure going to play in the NHL. And then to see,
I think
him,
he thought it was going to be that easy there, or something. Because he didn't,
and I knew he had
have a huge
attitude.
Compete.
Yeah, I know.
He was great. Like, he treated skill, me great, man, but like, yeah, the skill level was unbelievable.
And like scoring at will on break, if you got a breakaway,
in the net.
You would never miss.
Yeah, it's in the net.
But
he had a tough looking twig too, though. Remember his stick? It was like goof. It was tough. It wasn't as bad as yours, but it wasn't the greatest looking curve I've ever seen. But it worked. Like it worked. Yeah. He had mitsies. Yeah, he definitely did. You know, there's probably a lot of guys you look at that. Over the years, like I remember thinking about the Hubachek when he came in with Pletka, the three Czechs and Thomas Divisek. Divi was like Thomas Divisek was like a little slow. I don't want to say slow, but he wasn't like overly fast. But he had great hands, big body. He did play a few games up. Pletka, I thought at that time was like he was smaller, but I think the only game he played with the Flyers, he scored. So obviously, he thought. He should be there. And then Hubachek, he made the team out of camp, but it was almost like he didn't want to be there.
Wasn't feeling it.
You know, he just, I think it was hard. Yeah, why wouldn't you not want those paychecks? But anyway, there's probably a few, but for some reason, Stefan Ruzicka popped up my head first. So,
beauty.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Appreciate all the questions. That's it.
Oh, shoot.
154 in the books.
Debo, is that all right? Okay.
We're good.
Man, a few words.
Until next week, be sure to hit us up on Instagram, ask some questions, comment on YouTube, subscribe. And until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.